I'm interested this evening in taking another look at the name of Jesus. Last week we did it, and I saw the verse in Malachi that says God himself is taking a look. It says, they that thought on his name, a book of remembrance was made. And it's made me realize, you know what? What all is involved in the name of Jesus? It's easy for me to just think, okay, it's a name just like anybody else's name. But what we're really looking at is what is behind that name, what is meant by it. And I'm thinking tonight of a word, attribute, a quality, a character, or a characteristic ascribed to someone. When we think about the name of Jesus, that's really what we're doing is, when I think of the name itself, what qualities, what characteristics of Christ come to me? Because really, when we look at it, 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, for even hereunto were you called, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. So, you know, whenever I'm thinking about the name of Jesus and his characteristics, this is talking about us following in his steps. So as I find out who Christ is and how he lived his life, and I want to be more like Christ, it starts becoming very important to me. And I think it was our song number 219, I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour, how the soul which he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. A learning process for us. And I would like to add another attribute of Jesus tonight. And it comes from us starting to, I mentioned it last week, you know, in our mind, if we could just realize it, it's like a library. We can have negative thinking. I can be a person that everything that someone does to me that was negative, I put it in a book. And I think about it day by day. And it's when I wake up, I think about it. When I go to sleep, I'm thinking about it. And it just puts negative things to me. Or I can be a person that I choose to see the good in other people. And I choose to think that way. Well, what this is a mental book that we're building. You know, there are things that I can have, the biggest thing that I'm thinking is what someone's done to me and the unforgiveness that goes with that. Or you know what, I can also build a big old book of those same things, but every time I happen to even think about it, I see that stamp says forgiven. I have chosen to forgive it. Now, you know, sometimes we will hear the words forgive and forget. Okay, somebody's done me wrong, and I just forgive them, and I forget it. I can't even think about it anymore. No, we're usually not that way. Usually it will come to our mind again, but it's what we do with that that's important. And so I'm thinking tonight again, how big is my mental book of the name of Jesus? Whenever I just think of his name, how many chapters are there in my mental book that I can think of who he is, what he has done? And I would like for us to look at another area tonight. Do we have that song on? I'd like for us to sing it together, because here's what this song is telling us. There is more that I would like to know about Jesus. I'll go ahead and start it. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase. More of His coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. So one reason that I'm wanting to be able to find that, it says over here in the book of 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. That's quite a verse. I want to know more about Christ. How did He handle Himself in situations? Because our song, I believe it's number 151, More Like Christ, My Heart is Praying. Because you know what? I would sure like to have what this verse is saying, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to stand up to God and tell Him I know who I am? No, but an assurance that I can have that I have pleased the Lord with my life and I've got His approval on my life when I stand before Him. And that's the reason for that is, as He is, so are we in this world. And to find out who He was, I need to do some searching in the Scriptures. More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. And here's what I want to have come from it. Not just a head knowledge. All His graces, rich displaying, while I tread my pilgrim way. I'd like to look at a verse over in Philippians. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Just those words, five words. My desire is to know more about Jesus. Not just a head knowledge, but down in my heart of seeing the life He lived in the time that we're still considered a Christian nation around us. But am I living like Christ lived? That's what's important for me. So I want to know more about Jesus, and I would like to start again with taking a little picture of when did Jesus begin. You know, it is so easy for me, if I'm thinking about Christ, to think, you know what, His birth is coming up just a few weeks from now, and we will celebrate when He was born. That's the beginning of Jesus. But you know, that was not the beginning of Jesus. Whenever I think of the name of Jesus, I need to be thinking of this. He did not begin as a baby. Let's look over again in John 17:4. Jesus talking to His Father, praying to His Father, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Now that's quite a verse right there. I've been walking on this earth for 3 years ministering, and the abuse that He received from the religious leaders in those 3 years, to the point that He's just saying, Father, would You please glorify me with the glory that I had before this world was ever even created. So we start seeing, you remember last week we talked about John was saying, if all the things that Jesus had done were written in books, the world would not be able to contain the books. And now we start seeing, you know what? Jesus was with the Father before the world was ever even created. He was with the Father when the world was created. How many books could all of that involve? And then I get a little picture because, you know, we're coming into, even we sang a song this morning, a Christmas song, because we're coming to that season. So I would like for us to be thinking about this as we come into the season. What it must have been, this is in Luke, because here Jesus is saying to his Father, I just wish I could, you could glorify me with the glory that I had. And if we would go to get a little bit of a picture, we read this often. It's in Luke, the second chapter. Luke 2 and 13. What would this be to have been able to view this? Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. You know what this heavenly host came from where Jesus had been. They are celebrating bringing him to earth for us. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A multitude of the heavenly host. You know, that sounds like what a grand entry to bring Jesus to the earth. Surely you would pick the biggest, busiest day in Jerusalem to bring him down and celebrate that. Wouldn't a lot of people have been impressed if a multitude of the heavenly host is saying this about Jesus coming? So was it proclaimed on the busiest day? No. Out there on a night, it was the shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks, is what all this was spent on. You know, if you were going to do an advertisement and you're going to spend a lot of money for it, you want it to reach the most people. It'd be the biggest splash that you could. And yet this one, the multitude of the heavenly host, was given to a few shepherds out abiding in the field with their flocks. And I start looking at this, looking at 2 and 12, when the angel came to let it be known, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this ought to have a big splash. How can we get it in the biggest place possible? But instead, what did it say? This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The long-awaited Messiah that people have been expecting to come to deliver Israel, it's now pronounced. You're going to be able to find him in a manger. And in the 7th verse, this is news for Joseph. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. What an entrance for this Jesus that the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, came down to proclaim for them. I am interested in being like Christ. And there is an attribute of Christ that I need to have, that whenever the name of Jesus comes to my mind, this also comes to my mind. And that is humility. You know, he could have been any other way. He could have come down as a soldier to deliver them. He would have had a big following. But instead he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You remember? It says he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That tells me that Jesus was in on the planning process. He was there when it was planned. You know, I was thinking of this. There's many babies that are born into the world to poor parents. There's not a thing that child could do about that. But Jesus was different. He was there when the planning was made, and he was willing for it to be that way. You know, he could have set his course to be so different. I don't want to take that lowly route. I want to make a big splash. But instead, he didn't. And here's a picture of that in Isaiah. In Isaiah 53rd chapter. 53 and 2. So here's a picture of Jesus. You know, sometimes there are models that are beautiful people. And you know, we will even hear, just because they have natural beauty, you will hear somebody say they would make a good president. Now wait a minute. All they have is skin deep. Well, look at this with Jesus. You know what? He could have been the perfect looking person. Because you know what? He was there when people were created. But instead, look at how this is. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's something. For people to look at him, and even the outside natural of a person does not attract them. And Jesus was willing at the planning process to humble himself and come down to this earth. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So I'm thinking about the humble route that he took. We sing sometimes a song, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. Now that's something many people, when they come into this earth as a child, they have no knowledge of what course it will take for them. He knew what it would be. He knew what it would be from beginning to end, and he was willing to take it. He walked the lonely hill to Golgotha, and there he lay down his life for me. You know, we can sum up Jesus' ministry if we went through it. We could take a look at Mark, the 12th chapter. Because you know what? Jesus had many times where he was given instruction. And a lot of times, you know, at the end of that instruction, there would be the Pharisees and the scribes would come and they would ask him questions, trying to catch him. Remember, they would say, do you give tribute to Caesar or not? And he bypassed those. They were not out asking for information to help themselves. What they were trying to do was to catch him. But in 12 and 37, it says in the last part of that, the common people heard him gladly. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, those who were the religious leaders, they would not accept it. But the common people heard what Jesus had to say, and they gladly accepted it. And while others that should have known, you remember when the wise men came to the king and they said, where is this child born king of the Jews? You know, he was able to go find religious leaders that could tell exactly where he was to be born. And you remember he sent to the wise men and he said, when you go there and you worship him, come back and tell me so that I can worship him too. So, you know, those religious leaders knew it's going to be this town. Here's where it's going to be from. And yet they refused to believe on him. But I look at the humble route that Jesus took in his life. Remember whenever he was coming into Jerusalem and he's going to choose an animal to ride on. Now it looks like if you want to come in and impress, get the nicest looking horse that you can get. You remember the story of Mordecai. When Haman came in before the king, and the king said to Haman, what would you do to the man that I would like to lift up? What did he say? Get the king's horse. And do you think the king rode on a mule? He had a nice horse. And that's what it was. Put the king's robe on him. Put the king's crown on him and walk him around town. Well, when he was saying all that, he had thought he was going to be the man. and it turned out to be Mordecai instead. But that's what you would do if you are wanting to promote someone, is you give them the very best. You know, if Jesus had wanted to promote himself, he could have gotten the very best. But you know, there are several places in the scripture where it says that what he did it that it might be fulfilled. You know, that means that way back there somewhere, there was a prophecy made about him. You know, he was in heaven when the prophecy was made, when the understanding was given to the prophets of what is out in the future. And you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had prophecy themselves to read, but they just expected it to come a different way. But there were several places where when Jesus did what he did, and every time there was humility involved in it. Here's one that I would like to look at, because it says that it might be fulfilled. This is in Matthew. And we have a direction that we're wanting to go with this, because when I get a good picture of Jesus, and now I go out and live my life, would I live it in any other way than humility? Matthew 21:1. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway, he's looking for this animal that he's going to ride on. You know, he could have said, go down here and you're going to find a stallion. You're going to find one beautiful horse. Bring it to me because I'm going to ride into Jerusalem. Instead, he says, straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And then look at that fourth verse. They did it. Then the fourth verse says, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek. Now, what a way for a king to come in. And you know what? This is the reason he was rejected, was because he took the humble route when they were looking for someone other than that. Thy king cometh to thee meek, sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And that's how he came into Jerusalem. So there's another song that we sing. Jesus left a home of dazzling splendor. You know, if we could just, when we think of the name of Jesus, let's be thinking about what he left with a choice. And before it ever even happened, before his life down here ever began, he was in the planning process for how it could be. And he was willing for it to be. Jesus left a home of dazzling splendor for this sinful world with sorrow dim, humbly filling the place of a servant. And he calls us all to follow him. So what he calls for me to do is practice that same humility. Never lifting myself up, never trying to become somebody. You know, if anybody had the right to do it, he did. But what he left for us was an example of humility, and I'm thankful for it. I remember years ago, Brother and Sister Stover used to sing a song. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Now, is that scripture? Jesus said it himself, Matthew 26. You know, he knew that he had the ability to stop it at any time. You know, we can have wrong done to us, and there's not a thing I can do to stop it. Jesus at any time could have caused it to come to an end. Matthew 26:53. You remember when the people have come to take him now? And Peter pulls out his sword. 52, Jesus said to him, put up again thy sword in its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So here's what I have available. And is Jesus just talking some talk? No. He had the ability to back it up. But then he says, what was the next verse? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? You know, Jesus knew about the process before it ever began, and he was willing to humble himself and come down with it, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. And then we move on down this humility that he has exhibited for me to learn from. Matthew 26 and 63. You know, when the trial is going on, Jesus had the power to put it to a stop then. But in 63 and 64, in 63 that says, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" And I have missed it somehow. 26 and 60. Okay, 26 and 63. "But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said, 'I adjure thee by the living God, tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.'" You know, a lot of these places it was saying that he held his peace. He didn't even answer anything back when he had so much that he could have told them. But he does say something now. "Then Jesus said, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto thee, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven.'" You know, he was revealing what we're all going to see one day. And did they say, "Oh, stop, everybody, let's stop. We need to think serious about it." Instead, what did they do? It says, "Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard this his blasphemy.'" Remember, we have read about the angels when they proclaimed him coming. Now take a look at this. 67. "Then did they spit in his face." You know, that's about the most humiliation you can have. And if you had power to stop it, that's about the time you would cut loose and stop it. Can you imagine that? The Son of God that had the power to do otherwise, and he didn't. "They spit in his face, they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?'" When I look at the humility that he showed, you know what? He showed it for me to follow his example. There is a verse that I'd like to start closing up with, because this is a picture. It is in Philippians, the second chapter, 2 and 5. So with all these things we look at that happened to Christ, and he had the ability to stop them, 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So when the name of Jesus comes to my mind, this book of remembrance that I'm building, may this be a part of it. Humility is a chapter, and it is the life that he lived as an example for me. And then it ends with, "And now follow in my steps." "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Here Jesus, it says in the 7th verse, "He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant." You know, Daniel took upon him the form of a servant because he didn't have a choice. If he wanted to live, he had to become a slave. Jesus didn't have to. "Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." You know, there are times when other people can humble us. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I am so thankful. You know what? After that has all happened, the humility that he showed, we could start us another chapter in the name of Jesus, thinking about it. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." But he humbled himself. And then comes instruction. If you ever go through the Bible and try to look up the word humility. You will find it sprinkled all through the Word of God. It's the example that has been set for us. And may I have it in my life. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, gives us some instruction. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. But before we go there, let's look at something else. There is something that I appreciate about the ministers of the Church of God. We have been given some instruction, and some of it is in this chapter. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know what this is talking about? Humility. For even the leaders. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. You remember it says Jesus himself humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Here's why we do it. Because it's not over yet. When the chief shepherd shall appear. You know, we've got somebody over us that we're going to give an account to. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So while we're here, here comes some instruction. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And it doesn't just stop there. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. So when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. And Christ's picture is that of humility. Be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. There's another verse, Isaiah. I want to find out who's God wanting to spend some time with. In Isaiah 57:15, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. You know, that's quite a different look than what we've had of Christ when he humbled himself and was spit on. With him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Here's the one that he's willing to dwell with. You remember in Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. You know, we sang a song, maybe it was Monday night when we were together, thanks to him. You know, I said in there just a little piece, just the mention of his name. You know, just the mention of his name, I should think of humility. Humility in him and the example that he gave for me. The example of humility from before his birth to after his death. Humility has been shown for me. There is a song, number 201. If you didn't look at the title first, but you looked at some of these parts of it, it says, oh, make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. You think, you know what? That sounds pretty good. I'd like to have some of that. And then you look at the title. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail and glories never depart. When I'm living in the place of humility, there's showers of blessings that will never fail. Make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. May we value Jesus' example to us of humility in his life. And may I ever pattern myself after that. I would like for us to close with a song. It's number 298. It says, if thou wouldst have. But you know, really I can say if I would have the dear Savior from heaven. Walk by my side from the morn to the even. There is a rule that each day you must follow. Humble yourself to walk with God. You know, that's amazing to think of that song. Humble myself so I can walk with God. There's a rule that each day we must follow. Look at whenever I think of Jesus' name, may humility come to my mind and may I pattern my life after it. I desire your prayers.